Good morning.
Good morning.
My name's Pastor Ben. Welcome again to worship this morning. I thank you for joining us during the season of Lent. Our theme for this season of Lent this year is to prepare ourselves like soil in God's garden, that we might be a space where Jesus could be planted, where the love and grace of God could be planted in us and grow new fruits. Will you join me in prayer? God of grace and transformation, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our gospel reading for this morning comes from the book of John, it's chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. Verse 14 reads, "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and people loved darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Last Saturday, a group of six students from the south and west sides of Chicago entered the home of Emma Gonzalez, an outspoken survivor of the high school shooting in Parkland, Florida. They were joined by other survivors of the mass shooting who have been in the news in recent weeks. They gathered around some pizza provided by Emma's mother at the edge of an indoor pool connected to the family's large house in this tropical gated community. After getting to know each other a bit, Vashon shared his story of the night his mother was shot, caught in the crossfire during a robbery. He noticed a couple of eyes open wide while he told the story, sharing his experience of regular trauma in his shitty city of Chicago community. Chicago community. The Parkland students talked about what happened to them as well. And Trinity from Chicago noticed that one difference between their stories was in how much support they received from the trauma they've endured. "I didn't feel resentful," she said, but she wondered what it would take to get more support from Chicago's communities for our young victims of violence. A critical moment came when one of the Parkland students apologized for the privilege they took for granted in their community. "Any barriers that could have divided us," Johnson recalled, one of the other Chicago youth, "completely disintegrated at that moment. I was in tears," he said, as were many others. The stark differences in class, in race, and in privilege that divided these groups of young people were bridged by an apology for the inequality they had inherited, an awareness of the privilege that had been given to them, a national voice and a supportive community, privileges that were not given to everyone. These children apologized for the privilege that they were still being socialized into. They apologized for this original sin that they inherited from their families and from their nation. They apologized for the privilege they took for granted that provided them support in their grief, that provided them agency in their desire for change, and provided them hope for an end to violence. The heartfelt apology for this power beyond their control melted away any barriers that divided these anti-violence activists. And with this act of repentance, the newly formed community could share a moment of healing, not only for their moments of trauma, but also for a lifetime of inequality. The Israelites also experienced healing when they engaged in an act of repentance. In our story from the book of Numbers today, the Hebrew community, still wandering in the wilderness, grew impatient with their miraculous journey out of slavery. They protested their long journey. They protested their food, still provided miraculously by God each morning, and even seemed to protest their freedom, preferring the security of slavery over the adversity they had experienced as free people. This anxiety to return to the familiar infects the entire community. And then come the snakes. The judgment of God is made manifest in this newly nomadic community in the form of venomous snakes that begin to kill the blasphemous Israelites. But surprisingly, this is how the people respond. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. After experiencing the trauma of the deadly snakes, the people respond not out of anger or out of fear or out of this continued need to return to their security and slavery, but they respond to their trauma out of remorse. They acknowledge their own sin in the midst of the long journey toward liberation and turn away. They repent and return their focus to being in right relationship with God. And it is the people's repentance that invokes a new season of healing in the community. Moses prays to God for the people because of their repentance. God creates a healing serpent staff with Moses because of their repentance. They experience healing together because of their repentance. But how do we apply this as Christians? Reading this Jewish Hebrew text, does God wait for us to repent to lift up Jesus as Moses does with the healing serpent? Jesus opens our gospel text for today by saying, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. How do we access the healing love that Jesus comes to earth to share? In a similar cross-cultural experience to this pool party in Florida, attended by very different victims of gun violence, this passage from the book of John is the result of a conversation between Jesus and his disciples and a privileged Pharisee named Nicodemus. Nicodemus came by night to share with Jesus that his community, the Pharisees, the people in power, connected to the Roman Empire, connected to the center of Jewish authority, his community knew Jesus had come from God. He came in the night to be a student of Jesus while maintaining his power and authority as a Jewish leader in Jerusalem from the shadows. Even though Nicodemus claims that the Pharisees, his community, knew that Jesus was from God, Nicodemus also knew that the Pharisees and the entire Jewish kingdom under Roman occupation was afraid of the power they could lose if a divine leader like Jesus was allowed to grow his ministry. This reaction to cling to power, to cling to the familiar, to security, to the past, to fear the change that comes with God's love and grace is exactly what persuades Nicodemus to come to Jesus in the darkness of night. It is in this context that Jesus teaches Nicodemus that those who cling to the shadows provide their own judgment in the presence of the light of Christ. He encourages Nicodemus to live with integrity to what is true, that those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. We as people preparing for Easter, knowing that we must first encounter the execution of Christ on Good Friday, we have experience with the shadows of humanity, the sins we have inherited and those we commit ourselves. We continue to live sinful lives and trigger pain within each other. We can be easily convinced to avoid the challenging path of repentance and work to keep our sins hidden away from our community, hidden in the shadows, even from ourselves. But Jesus calls us into the light. Jesus invites us to reveal our sins and have our sins have faith that God's grace can handle the brokenness that we carry with us. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world. But Jesus says, in order that the world might be saved through him. God actively provides grace because God's love for all creation is abundance, in abundance for all. In response, we as the church actively celebrate God's grace as the source of our salvation. We respond to God's grace by embodying the love, the justice, and grace of God in our world, in our neighborhood, in our church community. And when we really work at this embodiment, we realize that we need God's grace in order to begin to live this out, even a little bit. God calls us to repentance in this time of Lent, not to shame us for our iniquity or prove our unworthiness before God, but to provide a space for healing. Like the Israelites apologizing to Moses and the students of Parkland, Florida, apologizing to our own Chicago students, we too can develop an awareness of the shadows that disconnect us from God and from our neighbors and seek repentance. When we repent, we become open to God's grace that has been there all along. We step toward the light of Jesus and become more comfortable and more aware of ourselves. When we repent, we seek to change. We turn away from seductive sins that keep us from embodying the love of God. I'm inspired by the power of those words spoken by a Parkland student. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the privilege I don't understand. I'm sorry for the iniquities that separate our experiences of trauma. I believe these words are powerful. I believe these words inspire change, inspire hope, inspire healing. And I believe these words required a great deal of energy, of maturity, and of self-awareness to be spoken. These children had to confront the sin of oppression and violence that was weaved into this country's origin in order to step into the light. to find their integrity and discover how to love each other across difference. It's in this moment, this most challenging act of self-definition, that this unexpected community of students from very different worlds found healing that allowed them to continue to seek love and justice in the world together. It's in the grace fueled by the presence of these Chicago youth that forgiveness and healing was inspired. Today, Jesus calls us into the light. Jesus calls us to repentance so that we might encounter the healing power of grace. Jesus calls us out of the shadows of fear and judgment that hinder our commitment to God's love. Jesus calls us into radical freedom, freedom from sin, freedom that empowers us to live out God's kingdom here and now. As we continue along our journey toward Easter, toward our risen Lord that breaks the bonds of sin and death, let us journey more fully into the light of Christ. Let us reveal the shadows that sin has cast upon us and experience ourselves as God created us. God created us and called us good. Amen. Now, as we respond to the call of Jesus this day, I invite you to journey a little further towards God's grace by praying for healing yourself, by praying for healing and transformation in our community. I invite you to take out the colored squiggly paper that you may have gotten on your way in and find a pen or pencil and take a moment to write down your prayer for healing and transformation that you need today. Now, this squiggle might be a worm, a composting worm. It might be a snake of healing. It might be a grass waving in the breeze, a ribbon of hope. It's a space for our prayers for healing and transformation with God that starts with our act of repentance. What healing do we yearn for? What transformation do we hope for? How do we feel called by God to change, to love, to justice, to grace? When you have written your prayer of healing and transformation, you can bring it forward and add it to our compost bin, this vase here in the front. In our compost bin, we are taking our vulnerabilities and our hopes, our brokenness and our love, and allowing them to stand together before God so that we might be transformed. To become truly nourishing soil, we pray for healing this day. Please come forward with your prayers when you're ready.